Let's get into the message. God's exoteric, now I'll do that word on purpose, I'll talk about it in a minute. God's exoteric plan of benevolence for the believer places him, that is the believer, at a decided decided advantage over non-believers. Now, one songwriter tried to capture this, and he wrote, "Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door." I think I want to reword that song a little bit. Faith is the key that meets the condition that creates an atmosphere that gets us in the presence of the Lord, and then faith is the key that opens the door. See, I can get you to the app, but if you don't have the password, you can't get into the app. If you're a computer person. But if you have the password, and the faith is the key to open the door. How about that? I just thought I'd just change that around a little bit. You know what I love about this message? It's for everybody. Do you know that there was a time in history when the largest of the representation of Christianity felt that the laity, or the people like yourself, the rank and file believers, could not understand the Bible. Only a few at the top, like a cabal. Now, there's two. Remember I used the word exoteric? I did that on purpose because the word esoteric, it just changed one letter, E-S, and exoteric, E-X. So E-S-O-T-E-R-I-C. Esoteric means just a few, but exoteric means all of us. Can you dig it? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Mark 9:23. Let's look at it on the screen. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, didn't say just a big hierarchy, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So all things are possible to the one who believes. This laudable, exorable promise requires circumspect, now watch this, discipline and repetition in order to get this systemic truth deposited down in our spirit. It's not just overnight phenomena. It's something that we do by practice. We systematically get this truth pounded into our spirit because that's where it lasts. You get it in your mind, it'll come or go. Read the parable of the sower, the parable of the sower of the word in the 4th chapter of Mark, and you'll find out that there are three categories of people that hear the word, but they don't really get it. That puts a pretty sad circumstance on those who are left. That means only 25% of the people who hear the gospel actually get it. You can look the parable up for yourself if you'd like. But we need to get the word deposited in our spirit. I'll talk about that a little bit more. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, there's a lot of scriptures to go which goes with that, but it ends by saying, I've hidden your word in my heart. Because if you don't have the word in your heart, you can be convinced otherwise. If you only have it in your head, people can be dissuaded, they can be talked into things, because mentally we're that way, unless we're very solid in who we are. But I mean, many people are not that solid, so as a result, they can be talked into things. You've seen people do that. In fact, many people, they always worry about the elderly, but it's not the elderly, it's just anybody that's gullible. And people call you up, especially these robocalls. If you listen to them, I mean, yeah, I don't know if you get a few of those calls, but I get them so often. I try to be courteous because there might be some call I'm interested in. So I always say hello. And just as soon as they start with their line, I know immediately it's them. And I just press the off button, and that's at the end of that conversation. But it's because they think they do this. They talk you into buying something, investing in something, doing something you would not have done normally, but you were talked into it. So I'm trying to let you learn today that we have to have it in the heart, not just in the mind. You got to get it in your heart so you're unmovable when you have it there. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's go to Romans 10:17. You can never get enough of these words, scriptures. So then, in other words, as a result of what we've been talking about, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, without biblical faith, the Christian life is problematic, to say the least. But with biblical faith, the panoply of God's promises await the fulfillment in our lives. God's a loving God. We just don't give Him a chance to manifest what He wants. So let's look at the substance of faith here. Remember, I told you I was going to get back to this idea about recycling. In Romans 10 and 8, let's watch it. But what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. It becomes a revolving cycle. We speak it into our heart, and then the heart speaks it back to our mind and through your lips. The more you speak it, the more you believe it, the more you believe it, the greater the results. It's called recursive. R-E-C-U-R-S-I-V-E, recursive. It's recursive in the sense, if this is going to work, it's necessary. When something's recursive, it's necessary for it to be disciplined, repeated, and go through a cycle. And in this case, we got to get the Word cycled into our spirit and get it solid there so that our spirit can talk it back to our minds and our minds can speak it out of our lips. I think I better ever go over that again. I said it becomes a revolving cycle. We speak it into our heart, and then the heart speaks it back to your mind and through your lips. The more you speak it, the more you believe it, the more you believe it, the greater the results. 2 Corinthians, am I speaking to some of you as a believer today? I hope so. Fourth chapter in the 2 Corinthians 13th verse. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Now what's the correlation? Coalition. But anyway, it's a word like that. It's a very nice word. Yes, thanks very much, coalition. That sounds very good to me. Now let's look at another verse because I want to show you something. Psalms is being quoted here. Let's go to 116th Psalm, verse 10. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I'm greatly touched by this. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians 4:13. Go backwards. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, where was it written? We just read in Psalms. I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Wow. Praise God. He agreed with David and states he too speaks what he believes. Half the time we just speak out of our head. We don't know what we believe. It's time to get ourselves by the neck and the nap of the neck and by the seat of the pants and say, hey, buddy, you're going to straighten up and fly right. We're going to get into the Word of God. Praise God. Because there's no other way that's going to help you. So let's look at this because it just keeps getting reinforced no matter where you look in the Bible. In the 10th chapter of Romans, for instance, 9 and 10, let me do it in the Amplified. It said, for with the heart a person believes or adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified or declared righteous, acceptable to God. Then, with the mouth, he confesses or declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. See, it's a process. It's in a nutshell right here, actually in Romans 10, 9, and 10. It's if you really look at it and reread it several times, it'll really help you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. We'll read some more scripture. 12th chapter of Matthew, and let's begin at 33. I think we'll read all the way through verse 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and the fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. blood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. See, you're almost talking about, you're thinking of a garden here, how you plant, what you plant. Evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. It's not something we're making up, folks. This is digging in the Word of God. This is what the study of the Word of God is all about. It's breaking it apart and opening it up and find out how does it really apply to us, and am I doing what the Bible says I should be doing? Because a garden will not produce an edible harvest if you don't plant good seed. You won't get good out of it. I know what you'll get because I get it in my backyard, my front yard, and I take care of it because I put on the act. In my neighborhood, you have to put, so I have people come in there and they put the stuff on there, and it costs too, ever so much a month. And anyhow, it's just nice green grass. Backyard, it's my business. I have it fenced in, and I don't spend any money on it. I just let them mow it. And it has some of the strangest creatures or creators that grows up in my backyard. So generally speaking, if you don't plant good seed, you harvest cuckoo burrs, if you don't know what they are, Johnson grass, pigweeds, and crabgrass. Boy, do I have it. All my backyard is just wonderful. As long as I keep it mowed short, I don't notice all of it. Did you ever go by one neighborhood and you'll see several yards, you know, real nice, and you won't see any dandelions? And then you come to one on the corner and it's just grown up just a little bit and you'll see dandelions all over the place. You don't have to plant dandelions. They grow by themselves. I never planted a pigweed in my life. They grow by themselves. I hate those suckers, too. Well, I'm not supposed to hate, so I just go and I stamp them out saying, I love you, sucker. No, really, you know what I mean, though. But if you plant good seed, I call it salubrious seed because then it produces something good, you'll reap a good harvest. Go back to Matthew 12:35. Can we get that again? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil things. So whatever you plant, that's what you get back. So the production center is located in the kingdom of God that is within you. There's a lot of strange but good material here if you'd listen. Look at Luke 17 chapter, verses 20 and 21. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, they had heard about that, he answered and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Now we know there's going to be a literal physical reign of Jesus on earth. Well, he will reign on earth and he will be the king, the potentate of all potentates. And it says that he'll put down all rule. He'll rule and reign with a rod of iron. But at the present time, he's still in heaven. He's not ruling here on earth. He rules and reigns. I should say he reigns. He's not ruling, but he's reigning in our heart. So he's inside our heart. So notice something here. Notice when you get saved, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. He has a new nature. He has something inside to work with he did not have before. Now, when you get born again, then you're a part of the kingdom of God on earth through your heart. It's not physical. At this point, it's spiritual. But God's living in your heart. And God has put a mechanism inside you so that you can operate in faith. You see, if you only try to do this just by physical memory and, you know, or just try to do this only by the mental strength, it'll become confusing and you will fail. But if you plant the good seeds and they get in your heart, remember, your heart then begins to speak back. it begins to speak back to your mind. And your mind is the one that's capable of giving you, putting your lips to work so that you can speak out words. It's just an amazing thing. So the production center is located in the kingdom of God that is within you. So the kingdom of God, the Bible says, is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So we've been talking about planting the good seed in the name of Jesus. And Matthew 12, 20, 37 talks about it. We read that already. But let's go back to Mark chapter 4. Remember, this is a parable. Most parables that Jesus gave, he does not give a interpretation. He simply gives the parable and then goes on. And then the people have to figure them out for themselves, so to speak. But in the case of the fourth chapter of Mark, he is talking about the parable of the sower. So then he goes on and begins to talk about it. Now here he says, the kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed on the ground. He begins to go into, let's see if we can go on. Go to verse 14 once. Let me see if that's where I want to go. The sower sows the word. He begins to explain the parable. In this parable, he talks about the word being sown. And he talks about four categories of people that hear the word. And these have to be, in some sense, believers of some sort, to some degree, or they wouldn't be in position to hear the word. So that's why I always say this is the four categories that hear the gospel, and they must be in some church where the gospel is being preached or somewhere. They hear the gospel, and then four different things happen. One is it falls on ground that's not very, doesn't have very much soil. And so, man, it's good until it gets 90 degrees and no rain. And then it dies up and it dwindles away because it couldn't handle the pressure. And then it goes on and it explains the three different things. Talks about the cares of life. You know, I've seen people like this. They can come to church and get red hot for God. Boy, they'll go around the neighborhood telling about Jesus. And about a week goes by, and then some pressure came on them, and they were back at the bar drinking again. Instead of promoting Jesus, or promoting Seagram 7 or something, old granddad maybe, I don't know. But, you know, just not consistent. So in other words, you read those, if you read that fourth chapter, it'll help you see this. Three different categories do not stay. They hear it, different things happen to them, they give up. Only 25% of people like you who hear the gospel really get it. It's not meant to discourage you. It's just that we play games with church. We play games with the gospel. We know two verses, and we act like we're, you know, spiritual giants. We need to get back into the Word of God. We need to believe the Word of God. We need to practice the Word of God. Now, it's worth it. I'm trying to give you some incentive today. It is worth it because if you will do what God says, the panoply of His blessings are available. But you're not going to get them unless you use your faith. See, people come back with me all the time and say, oh, the grace of God is unconditional. Now, if you just simply would just look at it on its face value, yes, it's unconditional. At the start, God offers to you to come to Him, and He'll forgive you of all your sins. And so you come, and He puts a new nature in you. And He says, old things are passed away, and all things become new. If there's no process in your life showing that you've been changed and you've got a new nature, then I've got to question, what is that you have? It doesn't coincide with the Word. So we have a new nature, and that new nature is what helps you to grow in the Lord. It gives you the capacity. It gives you the hunger and the capacity. Otherwise, if you're just a normal, you know, you could be educated or uneducated, it don't matter. You can have a lot of degrees or don't even know what a degree, how to spell the PhD, you don't even know how to spell what it means. You know, that in itself only gets you so far in your physical aspect of life. But if you take your life in its full context, that it's eternal, you're going to live forever. I said you're going to live forever. I know I'm worried about living to be 100 yet. My goal is to preach up here at 100 up here, saying, I don't care if they have to help me. I'll preach like this. That's just my goal. But the point of this, even if I could do that, and I do intend to do that if the Lord should tarry, but I'm just saying, even if I could physically do that and still had the mental capacity to do that, how does that stand up against eternity? 100 years to eternity? 100 years to 10,000 years to 100,000 years to 1,000,000 years? So you can see that we waste so much of our time thinking only of this physical life. And we shouldn't have to wait until we're ready to die before we only think about spiritual things. This ought to be from the early, we ought to teach this in the earliest childhood, to trust God and to ask Him to give us the wisdom, make right decisions, and become a godly person. Because if we would practice what the Bible says and apply this truth that I've been trying to teach you today, I'll tell you one thing, you'd live a more prosperous life. Well, life, because God doesn't want you sick. Get that in your brain. He does not want you sick. He wants you well. He does not want you poor. I don't care what people say about, oh, if you're poor, bless God, you'll live for. No, if you're poor, you just go around begging. That's what you'll do. That's what poor people do. They don't have it on their own. So they do like in Los Angeles on Skid Row. They just put up a tent, let somebody come by and just give them a nickel or a dime or a quarter. You see people on street corners all the time. And we're glad to help people like that. But how many know that's no way to live? That's not a prosperous way to live. I mean, that isn't the way I want to live, praise God. And you don't have to live that way. That's what I'm saying. There's a panoply of God's blessings that are available to us. Now let me touch on an area that you wish I wouldn't touch on. Malachi chapter 3, 8 and 9. Let's look at this. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? God's speaking to the people here. He says, in tithes and in offerings. You are cursed. Have you ever thought about you that are trying to get ahead financially? Have you ever thought about if you can't get ahead, no matter how hard you've worked? Have you put God first? I didn't write this, and I don't need to scare you into giving. God's always provided for us. Believe me, I'm not doing that. I just have to tell you the truth. But here's what it says, you're cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me. See, when we use that 10%, said, Brother Dave, you're getting legalistic. I'd like to know how you figure the gospel is going to be funded if we don't have some system to do it. I'm going to give you this legalistic business. You live legalistic every day. You pay your rent on time. You pay the interest, you know what I mean? Maybe you don't like me to get too practical. Maybe I ought to be this guy getting Mr. Nice Guy. Excuse me. Let me get my monkey suit on and act right. For you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Now God accuses them. Now how could you rob God? Well, if you use the 10%, you say, what belongs to God? The first 10% you get in your hands. I'm just saying, do you want to live a godly life? You want the panoply of God's blessing? Oh, I thought there was just unconditional. If you go with me scripture by scripture, I'll prove to you there's some conditions. How about John 7:37? If conditional, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. That's conditional. That means if you don't do that, you're not going to get the answer. I'm not trying to steal from you. I'm just trying to let you know that there's a way to success. And you can't put yourself first. Brother Hagee always did it the best. He said, if you have a brand new refrigerator in your kitchen and you don't pay your tithe, that refrigerator is a stolen refrigerator. You bought the refrigerator with stolen money. All right, I just knew this was going to go down flat here, but I don't care. Tithing and not tithing is empty-headedness. You cannot possibly get ahead, even if you got ahead financially. You'd see how fast finance is not the answer. It's only a means to an end. So that's planting bad seeds here. He says, so we're assured of a bad, he said, you're cursed. So that means you're assured of a bad harvest if you disobey him in this important area. Because God is in charge of the assurance business of heaven, and he cares about his business, and he's going to fund it. If he can't fund it through you, he'll find somebody else. Oh, Brother Dave. Okay, now watch. Let me give you more scripture. 1 Samuel 15:23. This is good. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you. You can't write your own rules, folks. I'm just sorry. I just wanted to tell you that. So patience is an incontrovertible virtue. Look at James 1 and 4. Let me see if I can kind of come toward, I got a few more minutes. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So if we have faith in God and we have the patience to wait, and when we commit something to God, it means trust him and don't allow circumstances to frighten you. There's going to be opposition. That's the name of the game. Conflict, be conflicted. That's part of it, because many are the help me some of that too. That's good. Scripture. Many are the afflictions. That's funny. You can go around and do it real good, and all of a sudden the word won't come to you. But anyway, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So that's the promise that God has made with us. So there's going to be tests. Let's go to James 1, 6, and 7 and give you some hurried scripture. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. Anybody can act like they believe and have no faith. It takes real people that have real faith. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. What's that? For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now watch. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. I'm going to... If I have to tie myself down and grab myself by the knee, I'm going to do what God says, because I'm not going to miss out on God's blessing. If my dumb old flesh don't want to listen, I'll teach it. I'll show it how to listen. Everybody, you didn't leave on me, did you? Paul also promised that God will protect you during a test. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. Not new, just seemed new to you. But God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God makes provision for every part of it. My Lord in heaven. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, 35 through 38. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Quit it, which has great reward. Hang in there, patience. For you have need of endurance or patience, that after you've done the will of God, that you will receive the promise. Shake your head up and down like that. You will receive the promise. For yet a little while, here comes patience, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. You can just hang in there. Faith is not easily accepted by the natural mind. Fear is natural, not faith. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out what? Fear. Because what? Fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Boy, there's a lot of simple scriptures here that could change your life. You just let it. Some people just get into a state of become morose and worry about the future, fret about everything. But God will work it out in your favor if you give him a chance. I say, God will work it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 in the Amplified. Let's go to Amplified. For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? For so also no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit is from God, so that we may know and understand the wonderful things freely given to us by God. Does that sound good or not? I said, does that sound good or not? We have received, my blessed be God, gifts of divine favor, blessings so freely. Some negative statements that you can correct, I'll never be able to make it. Shut your cotton-picking mouth and don't say that anymore. Don't say that anymore. I always make a mess of everything. Well, it's time to change. My family's always done this. It's time for you to change so your family can have a new history. I'm just a loser. I just don't know. I come from a family of losers. We've always been losers. Well, bless God, it's time for you to become a winner, not a loser. So just simple things like this, if you catch yourself, you'll catch yourself making a negative thing. And don't talk negative about your neighbor. Try doing that for a while. If you could do that, you could give yourself an A+, because half the time you're talking against your neighbor. He's on my lawn. The guy goes too fast. He never washed his car. She's always there. Look at her. Look at the way she's dressed out there. Well, bless God, at least she's dressed for something. I mean, she could walk around out without it. But anyhow, just stop the negativity. Get it out of your life. And remember, God will bless your tongue. Your tongue will say the right thing. It'll get into your heart. And you get that recursiveness going on. Holy moly. Well, I knew a Sister Mole. I said, don't worry. You know Sister Sharon. We had her downtown 5th and High. So I can say holy moly. She was a holy lady. We must become more vigilant about what we allow ourselves to say. The psalmist said it this way in Psalms 141, verse 3. He said, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Words serve as a foundation block for your future. Are you ready for it?